Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the light of Christmas. And in keeping with that topic, we have a gift, and all you have to do to receive that gift is give us a call on our toll-free number, but we'll say more about that gift later. All the work and effort that you hear in the show comes from Alice Bailey, who is she's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And all of the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from her 24 volumes of literature, as does the following thought. From the night of time, the period when the sun moves northward has always been regarded as a festival season. For thousands of years, it has been associated with the coming of a sun god, bringing light to earth. Can you say more about this sun god in world religions?
Yes, it's one of those absolutely fascinating aspects of the inner spiritual tradition that runs throughout many of the world's religions, and it's very ancient. The winter solstice, which I think usually comes on December 21st each year, is the time when the sun ceases its southern journey in regard to the northern hemisphere. I'm not very well versed in astronomy, and begins its northward climb, bringing greater light to the northern hemisphere until the summer solstice on June 21st. So the next 6 months are a time of increasing light, and this moment of the winter solstice is a deeply sacred moment in many of the world's faiths, and it is even today recognized by people as a time of spiritual significance, because I notice there's a lot of meditation activity that is undertaken on December 21st. Groups of people that meet together in meditation of various sorts to recognize and honor the energy of the day when the light in the world begins to increase again. One of the interesting things for me about the winter solstice is that at the time of greatest darkness, meaning the days are shortest, the nights are longest, there is at that moment the birth of what is called the sun god of Christ. But as your opening thought mentioned, it's been regarded as such a time for thousands of years. So that implies that it goes back much earlier than the time of Christ. And it does.
Yes, it goes way back even to into mythology, into Greek mythology, and there's, which is replete with many sun gods and that sort of thing.
And in the Persian religion, the sun god that they called Mithras was said to have been born on December 25th. And interestingly, he was said to have been born of a virgin mother. So there's a parallel in that tradition. And I believe in the Egyptian religion, Horus, the god Horus, was born at this time of year. There are a number of similarities in some of the different religions of the world that suggest that December 25th has been recognized by not just Christianity, but the Egyptian faith, the Persian religion, and I think a few others, as the moment when the sun god was born. What that signifies is that at the time of greatest darkness, there is the gift of light to humanity. In other words, humanity is never left without a light to show its way back to the feet of the Father. That's the whole underlying significance of Christmas and of all of these ancient traditions. And when you think about it, the deepest darkness provides the matrix, you could say, for the recognition of the brilliance of light. If you think about when the moon is new, there's very little light in the nighttime sky, and that's when the stars shine most brilliantly. And I think that that suggests that this time of darkness is when light makes its greatest impact.
There's been some controversy, well, even way back in the, 2,000 years ago, about the exact birth date of Jesus.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it was the 25th of December was settled on by, as I recall, Pope Julius in 337 A.D. Pope Julius finally set the date of December 25th because it at that time corresponded with a pagan holiday, and they were. The pagans were busy with their ceremony. It was a pagan holiday honoring Bacchus.
Mm-hmm.
And so as...
Was it a distraction? Was that what he was thinking?
Yes. So in order to avoid this distraction, the Christians corresponded their holiday on the December 25th, the same time that the pagans were celebrating Bacchus.
Well, it sounds like it provided safe cover, in a sense.
It was. It was... So that the Christians might perform their rites undisturbed,
yeah.
as it is
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
So it's rather interesting the way they can coordinate the pagan religion and Christianity came together there.
There are many pagan traditions in Christmas, the Yule log, the tradition of holly, the Christmas tree, all come from the pagan religion.
Yeah, the Yule log is a time that... That was more of a Saxon contribution.
Yeah, the Druids.
And the Yule log means jollification. The Yule, that's the meaning of the Yule, and that's what gave us the merry and the joyous character of the celebration of Christmas.
One of the most interesting aspects of the Christmas festival is the idea of the virgin birth. And I didn't know this until recently, that the idea of the sun god, the world savior, being born of a virgin mother is an ancient belief that's not just found in Christianity in the relationship of Mary and Jesus, but it's found in the Egyptian religion. Isis was the virgin mother of the god Horus. Even in Buddhism, the Chinese interpretation of the Buddhist religion taught that Maya was the virgin mother of the Buddha. So I think there is an astronomical and an astrological reason for this, because at the time of December 25th, or even December 21st, at that time of year, the rising constellation on the horizon is Virgo, which is the Latin term for virgin. That constellation is rising on the horizon at that time of year. And Virgo is an interesting constellation because the brightest star within Virgo is the star Spica. And that name, Spica, I believe means ear of corn, or sometimes it's called a shaft of wheat. The constellation of Virgo is a woman bearing a sheaf of wheat in her arms. And so this significance of Virgo and the virgin birth is very deep in Christianity and other religions. And what's more interesting is that Christ was born in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means house of bread. So
it's also related to this idea of the sun god. The god brings light to the world, and that's one of the reasons for, I think, the birth of Christ. It was to bring more light into the world at that time. And I think sometimes we tend to forget that. It's really it's a time for giving presents, but also it's the time you can correspondingly see that light was given to the world. So that's mm-hmm. the greatest present that humanity could receive at the time was added light, which is essentially the light of the soul. And this is a very great gift.
And what's interesting is that although traditional church teachings say that Christ was born in a stable, I think, in fact, research and certainly the esoteric doctrines say that he was born in a cave. And that suggests the coming of light into the deepest depths of earth, of the material realm, which bears up what you're saying, the significance of the world savior, the sun god, coming to earth at the time of greatest darkness and coming into the deepest, densest materiality to bring the light of pure spirit.
And it's the light that is needed in humanity at that time, even 2,000 years ago. It was a time when there was a great need for light in the world, and light in terms of knowledge. There are many aspects of light that one could speak about. I mean, there's light of knowledge, which is what we're all very familiar with, and the accumulating of knowledge and scientific knowledge and all that. And then there's the light of wisdom, which is essentially soul, the light of the soul. And beyond that, there is even a greater light, which is the light of the intuition, which comes from an even higher source than the soul. So there are many aspects of light that one could go on into and explore. So.
Isn't another aspect of light the light that makes one aware of who one really is? Because not only was Christ born as the world teacher, but his birth in the cave enacts the awakening of the Christ principle in every human heart. We've talked in past programs about the first initiation, which is the birth of the Christ in the cave of the heart, which is a way of saying the awakening of the soul principle within the human being is the event that coincides with the first initiation, when that person then sets foot on the spiritual path and takes his spiritual development in hand, you could say. And
well, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is the light of Christmas. And we had mentioned the gift earlier, and I'll be happy to tell you more about that right now. The title of the gift is a pamphlet, and the title of it's called The Energy of Light. It's a very comprehensive pamphlet giving you a lot of information that more or less relates to the show today. Perhaps Sal and Dara can Sarah and Dale can give you a little précis of what this pamphlet is about. Sarah, you want to do that for us?
Oh, I think Dale would be better at
that. All right, okay.
Dale?
Well, it's a short pamphlet. It's called The Energy of Light, and it has various topics about the energy of light and what it is. The humanity is the planetary light bearer, which is another interesting concept. There are excerpts from the writings of Alice Bailey on light. There's a short passage on laser light, the scientific aspect of light. So it covers quite a territory of not only the phenomenal light, scientific aspect of light, but also the spiritual aspect of light.
All right, thank you, Dale. And if you'd like to order that pamphlet, title of which is The Energy of Light, please do so by calling our toll-free number 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-695-8247. N-Y, Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Think of it as 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Additionally, Lucis Trust, the Lucis Trust organization is funded entirely through the voluntary donations of people like yourselves, and you've been helping us out quite a bit, and we appreciate it. And it's your voluntary donations that keep this program on the air. So please help us out. The programs are expensive, and we love to do them, and people seem to like them. So if you can help us out, we'd appreciate it. Send us a donation. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you'd like that gift that we were talking about, once again, just give us a call on that toll-free number that we mentioned earlier. That's 1-866-695-8247. Back to our discussion on the light of Christmas. In the materialization of Christmas, are we losing sight of its true meaning?
We really are, and people have been complaining about this for ages, but it is increasingly recognized that Christmas is virtually completely given over to giving of material gifts. The focus is on the material aspect of gift-giving, when in fact there's a much deeper, more sacred meaning to the festival. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is, by the significance of her very name, the matter aspect. And matter is that which nourishes and fosters the growth of spirit in form. We talked about a few minutes ago about the birth of the sun god in a cave in the deepest, densest aspect of earth. That's the symbolism of the coming of spirit to matter. And that's what the sun god reveals. Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, is the symbol of matter as the nurturing, shielding aspect that brings to birth the soul principle. And it's through form and matter that God seeks to reveal himself to humanity. So matter does have a place.
Yes, of course it does, because everything has to appear through matter, because there's God essentially in manifestation here. So, but I think what's happened with Christmas, it's like the last ditch stand of the forces of materialism that have kind of taken over, or at least that's the way it seems sometimes. But we should say there's nothing really wrong with giving gifts and giving presents, because even after all, the three wise men brought gifts to the Christ child. But I think the problem is when this gift-giving becomes obsessive, and the only purpose and meaning behind Christmas is seen as giving of these material gifts. And when gift-giving generates the feelings of, as it does in children and adults, the feelings of jealousy and hurt, that because it might not have received the right present, or the great toy that's in vogue this particular season. And if they don't receive that, then they get hurt and jealous and they cry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And are these the kind of feelings that we want to generate during Christmas? Is this what Christmas is all about? And the answer to that is, of course, is no. So I don't want to sound like an old Scrooge here, but I think there has to be a limit on this gift-giving.
Coming back to the fact that Christ was born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, I think that the whole symbolism and the purpose of gift-giving is meant to be an expression of sharing. The writings of Alice Bailey say that when the world teacher, the Christ, returns, he will come at a time when humanity has finally grasped its responsibility to share. And I think we have a long way to go yet on that front. But I think the gift-giving element of Christmas is the expression of sharing. And when you think about it in that way, wouldn't it be nice at Christmas time to make a gift, a contribution to your favorite charities. And working for a nonprofit organization as we do, we so appreciate the gifts that come our way, especially at this time of year. And many of our listeners have sent contributions and nice letters, and we so appreciate and depend on that support. Pick a charity or two or three and make a gift to that charity. Some people like to ask at their church or synagogue for a recommendation of a family that's impoverished and could use special help. And that's another way to express sharing through giving. But it isn't, as you say, giving the favorite toy of the year to someone who probably has more than enough toys. Things have changed a lot in recent years on that.
Yeah, I think it's time to begin to simplify and synthesize your life and simplify your gift giving and simplify your understanding of what Christmas really means. I mean, it's the greatest gift that one can give to others is the gift of love, because that's the basic message of Christ and the birth of Christ. And those are the things that we should really be considering, I think, at this time of year.
The birth of Christ in the cave of the heart, which is the birth of Christ in every human being, is, as we've said in past programs, expressed by a kind of a turning around of one's physical plane life. We talked about how people who undergo this first initiation often become very focused on physical disciplines like vegetarianism, celibacy, and so on, physical fitness. And these, again, are an expression of the coming of spirit into the physical realm. This is all part of what is enacted by Christ's birth at Christmas, and it's a tradition that's reenacted every year to sort of document or reenact what has to happen in every human being. The awakening of light in the sense of consciousness.
You mean it's not all about Santa Claus?
Santa Claus. Well, I don't know where he was a great saint who was born in Turkey and.
Was he really? Yeah. I always thought it was a mythical figure. Yeah.
No, he was, as I understand it, a real person who was born in southern Turkey and was a great saint and a very holy person. Mm-hmm. But look at how we've taken that person's life and turned it into something almost farcical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I never knew that there was anything to Santa Claus.
Yeah, there usually
is. I thought it was something Walt Disney conjured up. Or
No, there was a core of spirituality even in Santa Claus, but uh-huh. It was
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas, yeah.
But he did go around giving gifts, mm-hmm. I think, and that's where that whole, whole myth began. And so he was a He had the right idea, but it just got out of hand.
You had mentioned something interesting before that I wanted to ask you more about, and you mentioned that the Christmas tree was a pagan symbol. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was a part of Christianity. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, as I understand it, it came from Germany. Mm-hmm. In pre-Christian times, there was a tradition in the German tribes, I guess they were then, to have a Christmas tree at the darkest time of year. Again, it symbolizes light in the midst of deep darkness. Mm-hmm. But the pagans understood the gift of light long before Christianity developed.
Mm-hmm. And once again, more about that gift, speaking of Christmas time and in the spirit of giving, we'd like to give you a gift, and that is a pamphlet we have that relates to this show. It's called The Energy of Light, and if you'd like that pamphlet, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion. In closing, there is a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.